Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 12th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Micaiah Bolton. Micaiah is our new Associate Minister of Music and she'll be leading out in the Contemporary Worship Service. We're so excited to have you with us on staff, Micaiah, and look forward to you reading scripture today. After Micaiah reads, we will have a time where she and I'll sit down together and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Micaiah, for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Our scripture reading today is from 1 Kings 12, and I'll be reading out of the ESV. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of this, for he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from the king Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Go away for 3 days, then come again to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" And they said to him, "If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever." But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus you shall speak to this people who said to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us.' Thus you say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people harshly and forsaking the counsel that the old men had given him. He spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David." So Israel went to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor, and all Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam hurried to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. And when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. When Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen warriors to fight against the house of Israel to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, "Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, thus say the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives, the people of Israel. Every man return to his home, for this thing is from me." So they listened to the word of the Lord and went home again according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, Then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. And he said to the people, "You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan to be before one. He also made temples on high places and appointed priests from among all the people, who were not of the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. He went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he had devised from his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings.
Thank you so much, Micaiah, for reading for the podcast today and for joining the staff of Mountain Brook Baptist. We're so excited that you're coming to be with us officially, I think, on June 19th. I want to get to know you a little bit better, and whoever's listening to get to know you better too. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and I came to Samford to pursue a degree in worship leadership.
Well, okay, so you just graduated from Samford, and I know that you are also engaged, so tell me a little bit about that.
So while I was at Samford, I was in the marching band all 4 years, and my sophomore year, this guy joined the marching band. His name is Carrie Kelly, and we were in the same section. We were playing the mellophone together, and I was a drum major, and the following year he was a drum major with me, and we were just really good friends, both doing music, and so we ended up spending a lot of time together, and eventually we fell in love. And when we eventually started dating a little over a year ago, it was one of those things where we just knew, you know, we were like, oh yeah, this is it.
That's so sweet. And so, when will you get married?
We'll be married November 18th.
Okay. Well, so I look forward to getting to know him. Tell me a little bit about your personality.
I feel like I'm really chill. I think I'm a very passionate person. If you know anything about the Enneagram personalities, I'm an Enneagram 4, which is like the very like individualist, like artistic type of personality, which I definitely resonate with. But the other part of that is that I'm a wing 3, which means it's like the people pleaser. And so with that, you know, it's kind of like, I really like, I'm going to do my own thing, and it's going to be like my idea, but like, please like it.
I was blessed to get to know you a little bit better this week on the ministerial staff retreat, and we all asked you questions around the circle. And the question that I ask you, I want to say it again. I know that you play the French horn. I want to know how you first started playing the French horn. And then I know that your voice is your primary instrument. And tell me how you developed your voice and how you came to know that you wanted to sing.
Yeah, so I do play the French horn. I've been playing the French horn since I was in the 6th grade, so pretty long time. And I discovered that I wanted to play the French horn, not really through anything in particular, but I did know that I wanted to be a band kid. And so in the 5th grade, when they brought their instrument petting zoo to the elementary school, I wanted to play the clarinet so bad, and I could not make a sound out of it. And so I moved over to the trumpet because obviously that's the next best thing. And I was all right at it. So I started playing the trumpet. And then in the 6th grade, the boy that I liked wanted to play the French horn. And so obviously I also wanted to play the French horn. Right. And so I auditioned for it, and we both got it, funnily enough. But obviously that never became anything. But yeah, I love playing the French horn. I think it's a beautiful instrument. It's like the superhero instrument.
And I learned that too. I had no idea that on these musical scores, always the French horn played it. Can you give me an example of that?
Yeah. So like in the Superman theme, it's like the best example. The main bum ba bum bum ba bum bum bum. That's played by the French horn. Or like even the main theme in like the Harry Potter theme or like anything like that. The Captain America theme.
That's all the French horn.
Yep.
I can't wait to hear you play the French horn when we have the orchestra, perhaps even this summer.
I hope so. I hope I have an opportunity to.
Okay, so you play the French horn, but you also sing very beautifully. So tell me about the development of your voice.
Yeah, I've been singing since I was super little, probably since I was able to sing. And I've always been really encouraged to sing. I was not the outgoing child, but I was the oldest. So, you know, I was the guinea pig child. Like, okay, go and try this.
You
and
can
try
do it.
This. And yeah, get up on stage and sing. It'll be good. And I just kind of fell in love with it. My grandparents saw that in me and took me to help record one of my grandfather's albums. And I was really encouraged by that. And so I never did choir. I never did anything like that, but I just continued to sing, and I continued to be encouraged by specifically my church family. And I think that is a big part of why I'm still in church music and why I have such a love for it, is because those are the people that encouraged me in music. I didn't have any classical training until I got to college, but once I did get to college, just learning about the voice as not really like a body part and more of like an instrument, it really helped me hone the musicality of singing and the importance of singing, especially in worship. And you know how it's a command for us. Like it says in the Psalms that the Lord sings over us, and how beautiful is it that we can return that gift to Him that He's given us.
I want to hear a little bit more about your testimony, how you came to faith in Christ.
Yeah, so I was saved when I was 12 years old. I was baptized when I was 6. So I guess I would say I accepted the Lord and my faith was revived when I was 12. But I would definitely say that when I was 12 years old, I understood the gravity of what salvation means. Before then, this is very personal, but it's not something that I ever try to hide, and I'm happy to talk about it. But when I was really young, I developed an addiction to pornography, and it totally ruined my life at the young age of 10 years old. It was awful, and it created a lot of doubt in me. It created a lot of confusion, and when the Lord like took a hold of me and opened my eyes, and He completely healed me of that. And I'm so thankful for how, you know, this horrible thing that happened to me when I was so young, how the Lord has just redeemed that. And He has shown me the goodness and His purpose in it, because it's been just a huge part of my testimony in talking to and fellowshipping with young women who also have struggled with that. Mm. After when I was 12 and I was coming out of that, I was asked to lead worship, and I have always had such a love for music. And so being encouraged to serve in the church and learn the importance of worshiping with your church family was really emphasized by the guys in my band. So it was me in this youth band. I was a 12-year-old girl, and then a bunch of guys who were like 6 years older than me and older. They were like older brothers to me. They taught me a lot about music, just theoretically, and like how to do it with excellence, I guess. They taught me how to love worshiping. Mm. And throughout my high school experience, I would travel with them and lead worship at DNOW's and at summer camps, and doing that with them and just having that experience of leading God's people in worship and connecting with the greater church, I think really drew me to love serving His people and serving in a way that I'm using the gifts that God has given me. And so, long story short, I guess, here I am with a worship leadership degree. And I'm so excited to continue to connect with God's people.
Micaiah, thank you so much for sharing about your journey of faith and how the Lord brought you to revival at 12 years old. I want to know what were the circumstances surrounding the fact that at such a young age you developed an addiction to pornography?
Yeah, so I have a deep love of reading. I so love reading. Actually, I just finished a series called the Mark of the Lion series. Highly recommend. It's Christian fiction, so I wouldn't recommend it otherwise. But I love reading. And so when I was young, I didn't grow up in a super wealthy family. And so my mom could not buy me books at the rate that I was consuming the books. And so one of my goals when I was in elementary school was to buy myself an e-reader. And I had my heart set on the Nook e-reader by Barnes & Noble. And I saved up $365 all by myself. I paid all in cash and I bought that Nook. And sadly, I came to learn that you still have to pay money for those books when you have an e-reader. But as I was searching for books online, a lot of the free books were erotic fiction. And I was not interested in reading any of them, but the covers did not leave much to the imagination. Mm-hmm. And as a 10-year-old, I had not been exposed to sex really at all, which is a blessing. But I had no idea about it. And so I was seeing all of these extremely provocative and revealing photos of people. And after all of being exposed to that so many times, like going on this journey of searching desperately for age appropriate free books, you know, eventually your curiosity gets the best of you. And so I read one of these books and it made me really uncomfortable and I didn't like it. But after putting it down, I was just like, I want to read it again. You know, it wasn't necessarily I enjoyed that, but it was, you know, there was something about it that just drew me back to it. And I couldn't tell you it. Honestly, it happened so long ago that it doesn't even feel like it actually happened right to me. But it was an odd sort of one day I woke up and I was watching porn on a nightly basis. And I hated it. It was terrible. My pornography addiction is not something that I ever try to hide from anyone. And it's definitely not something that I plan on hiding from my kids. Especially when they are around the age that I began to struggle with it. Mm-hmm. And also that Nook e-reader, that was my first personal piece of technology. And so I'm wary, mm-hmm. appropriately wary of social media and of the internet. And I've worked very hard to limit a lot of the things that could accidentally scroll across my screen. You know, I did not seek out porn when right. I was 10 years old. I happened upon it. And that is so easy to do nowadays. It is so easy to do. Even just the ads on the side are promiscuous.
And provocative.
And I think that pointing that out to kids and being like, this type of stuff is all over the place. You need to watch out for it and you need to stay away from it. Mm. Because, and then name all of the reasons why. Because if you just say, it's bad, don't do it, then they're going to be like, well, I'm going to find out why it's bad.
Right. And then I want to go back to the moment where you came to revival of faith. Was that at a service or how did you come to renewed faith?
Yeah. So when I was 12, I was in the seventh grade. And at that point, I was just deeply upset by how my life was. I didn't know how to, but you know, no 12-year-old wants to talk about that kind of thing with their parents. And so I was just moody and 12 and that's what it was chalked up to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want anything to do with church at that point. I was just kind of like, these people don't care about me. These people don't care about me. I'm just going to do my own thing. But my mom was like, you're going to go to that DNL conference. I already paid for you to go. So you're going. And so I went begrudgingly, played a game of kickball begrudgingly. And then that worship service night, I was like, this is the most boring part of the D now. And a bunch of my friends forced me to sit in the front with them. And I was just kind of like, okay. And the song, it's an Austin Stone song. And I would say this is one of my favorites, is Jesus is Better. And the bridge says, in all my sorrows, Jesus is better, make my heart believe. Then every victory, Jesus is better, make my heart believe. And at that point, I had such an attitude on my shoulder. I had such a chip on my shoulder. I was not going to sing. But through that whole entire song, I was like, I'm going to read these lyrics. And so I did. And the Lord just took a hold of me. And I just broke down into tears in front of my entire youth group. And I won't say it was instantaneous. It was definitely still a journey of healing after that. But God totally changed my life, because like that is so the truth. Like Jesus is better. And it was really great because my sophomore year, I started leading worship for the congregation as a whole. And that was one of the first songs that I led. And yeah, that was the beginning of my healing journey. And it took a couple of years after that for me to stop completely with porn. And it was a slow process, and it was full of a lot of pain and a lot of shame and guilt. But thank God for His love and His mercy and His goodness in bringing me through that experience.
As you were talking about the bridge of that song, I was just so moved at the lyrics. So I'm wondering if you might end the podcast today just by singing a bit of that song for us, just reminding us that Jesus is better.
Yeah, I would be so happy to. So it goes like this. Than any comfort, Jesus is better, make my heart believe. More than all riches, Jesus is better, make my heart believe. And our souls declaring, Jesus is better, make my heart believe. And our song eternal, Jesus is better, make my heart believe.